You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gareth Topham, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well, with racing on the turf at Sandown in York in the afternoon. We've also got jumping from Newton Abbott, and into the evening we've got National Hunt Racing at Aintree and action on the turf at both Chepstow and Goodwood. So good day to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. Well, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful summer's day here in Leeds. And we're coming live out of Studio 27 this afternoon.
Good racing coming up, Pimmy. We've got the stuff at Sandown in York. There's a big weekend up in Scotland as well. It's a good old bit of racing coming.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, to be fair. Plenty of good venues to go to. York, Sandown, Goodwood, obviously. A good card there. So, yeah, lots to look forward to over the weekend, that is for sure. And, well, I'm actually looking forward to Saturday, 6 o'clock, York.
Yeah. Tell us why.
The boy, Junior, makes his debut on the racetrack in the Macmillan charity race. He's had to raise over 2.5 grand to ride in the race for Macmillan. He's had to lose about 3.5 stone.
Right.
And the Quins have very kindly given him a horse to ride in the race. So we're looking forward to that. I think 12 runners go to post. He's in with some esteemed company, mind. There's Tim Easterby's daughter having a first ride. There's Mick Easterby's daughter having a ride in the race. Plus a two young girls that have actually recovered from cancer.
Right.
So it's a big, big race as far as Macmillan's concerned and as far as these young jockeys are concerned.
Yeah, good cause, isn't it? And there's plenty of the races at York sponsored by Macmillan on the day.
It's a big day. I think they have a big lunch and a big auction, and it's a big funding day for them. And so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, you'll be there as well, I imagine.
We will be there. Yeah, supporting.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be quite as confident as the jockey is, but we'll see. If he gets from A to B, well, happy days.
Okay. Have you been training him? Passing on the wisdom.
No, to be very fortunate, he's been very, very, very fortunate that the mayor of Newmarket, John Berry, has had him riding out there for about 6 months, and he's had a great time riding out. He's been a great help to him as John Berry, and he did pop up this week to have a sit on the Quinn horse, so he'll have a little bit of an idea what it's all about, that's for sure.
Good. And the race being at 6 o'clock, Pimmy, will you be able to see it?
Fortunately, I can't get there till later on in the day, so hopefully we should see it.
Good stuff.
Normally, we wouldn't see it.
No. All right. Let's talk about a bit of news as well before we move on to Friday's action, Pimmy. £50 million is the big headline on the front of the Racing Post to record this. A record deal for British Racing as Kipco boosts its sponsorship of Champions Day and Royal Ascot. It's good news, isn't it? That much money going into racing.
Oh, absolutely fantastic! Yeah, couldn't come at a better time, and you know, beautiful that these guys have put the money forward. Sheikh Farhad, he's a breath of fresh air for the job, isn't he?
Loves it, doesn't he?
Absolutely adores it. And again, he's saying his love for the game by putting in the money. You know, he's great help to Jack Berry House, giving their funding towards that, which opened there last week, which they say is a fantastic facility in the north of England. He definitely has got racing at his heart, that is for sure. And it's interesting as well, reading the article about him in the Racing Post today, bananas are vogue now.
Right.
Yeah. Racehorses eating bananas. It's a new one on me, but I'm going to try it.
Yeah. If it's good enough for them, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the you might be like the original thing that ate bananas.
Are you calling me a monkey?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. You know what I mean? You're putting words into my mouth.
Right.
You chimpanzee.
Right. The prize money on offer that I'm just reading through is fantastic. £5 million fixture Ascot at the end of the season, Champions Day.
Yeah.
£500,000 in the prize pot for both the 1,000 and the 2,000 guineas. and the sponsorship of Royal Ascot, which means they don't even need individual race sponsorship. It's enough to cover the whole meeting.
It's fantastic.
Great news.
But they're really going to town, aren't we, this Quipco Champion Stakes. You know, they're really making that an unbelievable meeting, aren't they? And, yeah, take my hat off to them. It's good that they really have taken this job to heart, really.
Yeah, it is good. So that's good news for the sport. One thing that's been controversial in racing is the announcement that Newcastle will get all-weather fixtures, Pimmy. A lot of criticism. What side of the fence are you on?
Total sacrilege.
Right.
I think it's all about me, putting low-grade racing on and giving meagre prize money. You know, we do need an all-weather surface in the north of England. There's no doubt about that. But surely the perfect venue was Catterick.
Yeah.
You know, you can't compare the Catterick turf track to the Newcastle turf track. You know, there's just no way you can't speak about the two in the same breath. So why go away with such a lovely turf track to put in an artificial surface when, you know, half an hour down the road, they could have done the same thing? Obviously, because Catterick's not owned by ARC.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
But it's not good for me. Not good at all.
The worst thing for me is the fact that racing history has been lost. The Northumberland Plate, a race that dates back to 1833, will be run on the Tapita. That's the original plan was to keep running it on the turf. They were going to use the hurdles track, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact that all that history is just going to be completely rooted up and changed, that's the worst thing about it.
Listen, ARC have got no interest about history. They've got no interest about preserving history as far as having those great races on the turf. They've no interest in racing. All they've got interest in is a spreadsheet with the top line and a bottom line, for me. And again, it just proves, really, their loyalty to the job, for me. I just can't have it. Can't have it. I think really and truly, it's a disgrace.
Yeah, plenty of people would agree with her as well. There's plenty of comments in the Racing Post from trainers and so on that aren't too happy with the decision. So
just tell me what the benefits are of putting that track there. Because I can't think of any.
Well, I suppose the benefit is horses will stay in training over the winter in the north, which is the aim. But they could have done that at Catterick. Yeah, I get your point.
You know what I mean? Could have done that at Catterick and then still preserved a proper turf track at Newcastle.
Yeah. We'll move on.
That'll rumble on.
It will.
It's not the last we've heard of it, that's for sure. And again, what happens then if Catterick does get the all clear and does put in an all-weather surface, then all of a sudden we've got two within space of half an hour of each other.
Yeah.
Then we'll get oversaturated with it, won't we?
It's,
if we haven't already got enough of it.
It's a few disgruntled people, so we'll move on from that.
It'd be nice to studio@williamhill.co.uk if you're listening in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Give us your views.
Yeah, get in touch. Let's talk about something a little bit more positive. Let's look ahead to a good day of racing on Friday. Pimmy's got four races for us. We're going to look at action at Sandown, York and Aintree, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we'll do is we'll go through the selected meetings individually, so it won't necessarily be in time order here.
Oh, now you tell me.
Yeah.
Now you tell me.
The 350 at Sandown. You've got all your notes saying your speed figures, Pim. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
The 350 at Sandown is where we'll start. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here, Pimmy, and I suppose we should start with the in-form Rembrandt van Rijn.
Yes, he's been in cracking form. This fella was in good order when we last saw him at Chester, when he was an easy winner. When beating Stretchworth by 2.25 lengths. That was a good performance. He's obviously up £8 because of that performance, but he definitely is a horse that's going the right way and coming into the race with confidence sky high.
Yeah, in saying that, there's plenty in there with chances, Pimmy, so talk through your main dangers.
Yeah, I thought Solo Hunter was an interesting one. He ran well in defeat behind Craftsmanship at Windsor. Field of Fame is interesting for me, that is for sure. Drops down in grade. I mean, what I thought ran an eye-catching race when he was 5th of 18 behind Masoub at York over the trip of a mile and two, same as he's running over tomorrow. And also the other interesting one, and certainly if the market speaks volumes for it, and that's the William Haggis running Carrara. He won his maiden at Thirsk at the back end of last season when he was 11-8 favourite. If the market speaks for him, then he could be a very interesting runner because he might still be nicely weighted with a mark of 83. He's got the assistance of Ryan Moore. So lots of ticks in boxes if the market speaks for him. But as it stands at the moment, I'm going to take a chance with the horse that's dropping in grade in the shape of Field of Fame.
Okay, Field of Fame for Pimmy. In the 350, to York we go for their 340 next, and this is a Class 3 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 13 here, Pimmy, and it's quite hard to rule most of these out. It's an open handicap.
It's a very, very open handicap. I mean, you've got David O'Meara with 3 representatives. You've got Richard Fahey with a couple as well. So it's very much a northern-based race, that is for sure. So hopefully the prize money is going to stay in the north, and hopefully it's going to go to Sherry Foot and trainer Mick Easterby in the shape of Cork Bay. Last one in 2012, so a fair negative about that. But he did win off a mark of 77 there. He's actually off a mark of 76 tomorrow. He has been in the wilderness for quite some time. But I thought his run last time, when he ran a cracker behind Westwood Ho at the Naismire, I think that holds him in good form. And I hopefully think that he might be able to bounce back to form tomorrow afternoon.
The 410 at York is where we go next. This is a fillies handicap, a Class 2 fillies handicap as well. A good race over 6 furlongs. We'll start here with the top weight, Pimmy. Will Be Me, who won this race last year. She's run a couple of good races this season over 5 furlongs at York, but the return to 6 should stand her in good stead. The problem is she's very much higher in the weights.
Yeah, she is, but to be fair, she's every right to be higher in the weights than what she was last year when she won the race, because, you know, she's continued to improve throughout. She ran an absolute blinder in defeat behind Monsieur Joe here at York last time out in May. Again, Monsieur Joe ran a blinder in the dash at Epsom on Derby Day. So that form's very strong, that is for sure. Lulu the Zulu's interesting. She ran in a listed stakes last time out. Not so sure how good a form the Appleby Yard's in at the minute. Maybe just tipping away, I think, but maybe not completely at the top of their game. And then you've got one that I thought was interesting is Sleepy Sue from the David Ellsworth Yard. I mean, again, she's been in the wilderness for quite some time. Last one in November of 2014, but that was off a mark of 91. So she could be an interesting one at certainly a double-figure price. And Ridge Ranger, she's been in great form of late, this filly. She won off a mark of 76. That was at Wetherby, I think the first sprint race at Wetherby. So she was a little bit of a record breaker. She was a little bit of a pathfinder. She ran well in defeat the next time out. Then she won again last time out at Chester, so she's certainly decent. She's £4 higher than when she won at Chester, but again, a filly that's on the upgrade. So, competitive race. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take 2 against the field, if I may. I'm going to take Sleepy Sue each way, because I think she's going to be 12-14-1. Might run a big race, but the selection for the win is Ridge Ranger.
Couple to consider there then in the 410 at York, and we finish in the 6:45 at Aintree. Yeah, a bit of jumping to finish. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles, the extended 3 miles. It's almost 3 miles and 1 furlong. And several of these with a chance in here, Pimmy. Who would you side with?
Well, a fantastic little race at Aintree tomorrow night for this Stayers Chase. Ballybuff Pat's been in tremendous form of late. He's crept up the weights, obviously, for his 2 wins, but he has been in great order, and certainly he comes into the race with a big, big chance. You've got Sedgemoor Express, who won last time out off a mark of 121 with Tom Scudamore in the saddle. Kieran Gethings gets the mount now, gone up £10. He takes 7 off, so it's really only £3 higher than when he won. So he certainly would come into the equation. But I fancy the Scottish challenger, Bally Ben. He was claimer ridden last time out when he won off a mark of 116. He's up £7 to 123. But the very much informed Brian Hughes takes the mount for Lucinda Russell. And I think he can build on that success at Kelso.
Bally Ben for Pimmy then. In the 6:45, as always, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, we are looking forward to the racing tomorrow afternoon. We're countrywide from York, Sandown, and we've even made a little trip to Merseyside for the final selection. So in the 3:50 from Sandown, I'm going to take a chance with number 6, Field of Fame, heading up to Yorkshire. And in the 3:40 race there, the 7 furlong handicap, going to take a chance each way with Cork Bay. Then we've got the fillies only handicap run at 4:10. Going to take 2 against the field there each way, Sleepy Sue, and number 7, Ridge Ranger, as the selection to win. And finally, the 6:45 at Aintree, number 7, Bally Ben.
Good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio at Sandown, York and Newton Abbott on Friday afternoon. Aintree, Chepstow and Goodwood in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.